Welcome to the Prophet University audio series. Here are your hosts, Bill Kennard and Tom Grandy.
Welcome to the Prophet University audio series. I'm Bill Kennard, along with our company's founder, Tom Grandy. This month's program is titled, How to Create Crystal Clear Communications in Your Small Business. Everyone listening to this presentation knows how to talk. Talking, however, is very different than communicating. The key to running an efficient and profitable organization lies in communications. This presentation provides some key insights into proper communication while discussing communication skills that will take any organization to the next level.
Well, communication really is key, Bill. Tom Borg provides some really simple and straightforward suggestions on how to better communicate. One word he suggests we never use is the word but. The best definition I've heard of the word but is the underlying truth is. Next time you find yourself using the word but, try substituting the words the underlying truth is and see if it changes the meaning of what you're trying to say.
Well, Tom, that's just one of the many really great tips that Tom Borg provides in his presentation. We can all grow when it comes to communication. I'm confident that those listening will pick up lots of helpful ideas throughout this presentation to help them communicate more effectively. Like many small business consultants and speakers, Tom Borg has a variety of full-time career work experiences that include township government, university administration, corporate consulting, training and development, and straight commission sales. Today, Tom is the president of Tom Borg Consulting, LLC. He's a team performance and customer experience expert. Through his consulting, mentoring, and strategic work sessions, he assists small business owners with profitability by gaining and retaining both employees and customers. And now, with how to create crystal clear communication in your small business, here's Tom Borg with this month's Prophet University audio series presentation.
Hello, my name is Tom Borg, and today's program is titled, How to Create Crystal Clear Communication in Your Small Business. As the story goes, a young man is driving home from work. It's getting later into the evening, just starting to get dark. And as he's whizzing along the expressway at about 70 miles an hour, all of a sudden he hears a loud bang and a thump, 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 thump. Pulls his car over. Sure enough, it's got a flat tire, rear driver's side. His cell phone's dead, didn't charge it up before he left work, doesn't have any way to recharge it, so he figures he's going to have to fix this flat himself. He goes into the trunk, pulls out his jack, spare tire, and he sets up and he goes to loosen one of the lug nuts on that rear tire, and it's not budging. It's rusted on there. He's a little concerned about this with traffic whizzing by, getting darker, so he makes a decision to go into the car, turn on his headlights, so this will give him a little more light, and hopefully people will see him as they're driving by. He goes to work on this flat tire. Well, finally, about an hour and 20 minutes later, he finishes up, throws the old tire into the trunk along with the jack. It's all dirty. He's frustrated. He's angry. But he gets back into his car. He's glad he's done. Goes to start his engine, and what do you suppose doesn't happen? That's right. Car won't start. Dead battery. Not sure what to do. He reaches for a rag underneath his driver's side of the seat, pulls out a white rag, and he figures, I'll just wave this outside the car here, and hopefully someone will see me and stop and give me some assistance. So sure enough, he gets out of the car, starts waving this white flag. There's a little old guy that pulls up behind him, and rolls down his window. He says to the young man, what can I do to help you, sonny? The young man says, well, sir, I had a flat tire, did a foolish thing. I put my headlights on. Now my battery's dead. I need a jump. Do you have jumper cables? The elderly gentleman said, sir, I don't. But what do you suggest we do? The young man said, well, how about this? I have a stick shift. I could put my car in neutral. Your bumper is about the same height as mine. All you need to do is get me up to about 25 miles an hour. I can pop the clutch and I can get my car going. Now, the elder gentleman was not too convinced about this approach, and he kind of shook his head and said, Sonny, I don't know if that's going to work. The young man assured him that it would. Finally, the elderly gentleman agreed. The young man was excited. He gets back into the car, puts his car in neutral, and he sits there waiting and waiting and waiting. And then he looks up into his rearview mirror, and there he is, this elderly gentleman coming right at him at 25 miles per hour. Wow. There is an example of miscommunication, but that elderly gentleman did just what that young man had asked. He got his car up to 25 miles an hour. So let's talk about communication, how we can make it crystal clear in your company and avoid those kinds of problems that might be happening more often than you think in your business. Let's take a look. I'm going to follow an outline here, and feel free to contact me if you'd like to get a copy of this outline. But we're going to walk right through it to give you everything you need to know about how to make communication work better in your company. First, let's start with this question. Why is clear communication so important? Well, first off, it saves you money. Matter of fact, a recent Harris poll estimated the cost of miscommunication at about $12,506 per employee per year. Now, that's based on an average salary and communication failure estimates. So what that is, that's about 20% of their regular salary. Let's stop and think about that for a moment. How many employees do you have in your company? How much do you pay each one per year? According to this survey, 20% of what you pay them comes right off the bottom line in terms of profits for you because of miscommunication problems. So number one, it costs us money to have bad communication within our company. Second, it creates a lot of stress. When people don't communicate properly, things are done improperly, and as a result, things have to be reworked. Tempers flare. People get upset, and oh yes, you're wasting more money because now you have to pay people to redo something that they did the first time, but this time they have to do it right the second time. So there's another few reasons why miscommunication needs to be avoided. And finally, if we look at communication, if we do it right, we're going to get things done in an orderly manner, in an efficient manner, and everybody benefits from that. Let's go on to the next point. Total communication consists of four things: writing, reading, speaking, and listening. Let's look at the statistics on this. Writing makes up 9% of our communication throughout the day, on average, depending on your position. Reading, about 16 to 20%, depending how much time you spend on the computer, as well as reading emails and texts and everything else we have today. Speaking makes up about 30% of our day. We're actually speaking to somebody either on the telephone or in person. But here you go. Listening makes up to 45% of the communication process on a daily basis. So that tells us something right off the bat, and that is we need to be better listeners if we're going to become better communicators. Now, according to Dr. Albert Mehrabian, he wrote the book Silent Messages. He says that when the words are inconsistent with the tone of voice and body language, face-to-face communication consists of three things: words, how we say those words, and body language. Now, let me reiterate what I mentioned there a moment ago. So when the words a person uses are inconsistent with the tone of voice, the body language, and face-to-face communication, these are the percentages that make the most difference. So the words you use are only going to make up 7% of the message. Second, how we say those words, that's tone of voice, that's going to make up 38% of the message. Now, let me give an example of how that can change. So let's say I were to give you this sentence to hear. I never said he would buy us dinner. Now, that's a statement. Let me change the meaning of that statement. I never said he would buy us dinner. What did I imply there? I didn't say it. Somebody else said that he'd buy us dinner. Okay, how about this? I never said he would buy us dinner. I might have implied it, but I didn't say it. How about this one? I never said he would buy us dinner. Oh, okay. So that means somebody else was going to buy us dinner, not this particular person. Or how about finally this one? I never said he would buy us dinner. What does that mean? Well, he might take us out to dinner, but he'd expect us to pay for our own meal. So you see, that's how we can change the meaning of a sentence with our tone of voice. So recognize that in everyday communication within your company, how that tone of voice can change the message and as a result, change the outcome of what's expected. Finally, body language. That's the last of the three. That's 55%. So what do we mean by body language? Well, the way the person looks at you or doesn't look at you. Maybe if they have open arms or they're crossed arms, that could mean that they're maybe resisting what you're saying. Or let's say they keep looking at their watch. That might indicate that they're not interested or they're in a hurry. If they keep looking at their phone for messages of some sort, that might mean they're not interested. So that's the body language part. So there's three things. The words we say, 7%. How we say those words, 38%. And the body language, 55%. Obviously, the body language is the most important, but we have to have all three to communicate effectively in our organization. Let's go on to the next point, number four. So where do we have the opportunity to communicate throughout the day within your company? Well, there's a number of places we do it. One, verbally, face-to-face. You're sitting, talking to someone, or standing, talking to somebody. That's one way that we communicate. Another way that we may be communicating is over the telephone, right? We could be on the phone, having a phone meeting. That's still another way. Third way could be Zoom. We have a lot of that today. Zoom calls or video conference calls. This is another big way we're communicating with each other or with clients or with our other members of our company. Next, emails. That's a big one. Emails. We'll talk a little bit about that a little bit later, but emails are a big way that we do communicate today. Texting on our phones, certainly. And of course, simple written messages and notes. So these are all parts of the way we communicate with each other. Now, one thing I want to put into the mix here is that we have a human element that we must be aware of. And that is that when we're talking to someone, there are four questions they're looking for answers to. And these answers are very important to how well they receive what we're saying to them. Now, they're not going to ask us these questions, but they are looking for those answers in the way we communicate with them. First, do you like me? That's the question they have for us. Now, how do we show them that we like them? Well, when we're with somebody, do we look them square in the eye? Do we use their name? Do we show them that respect? Second question they have for us, do you care about me? Well, how do we indicate that we might care about somebody? Well, do you take a sincere interest in them? Do you ask them questions about things that they may have shared with you before that were related to work or outside of work? Do you help them with what they're doing? Do you go out of your way to make sure that they have their problems resolved? Will you provide extra help or assistance to them to make sure those things are handled? Next question they have for us, can I trust you? Now, how do you prove to people that you can be trusted? Well, one simple way is do what you say you're going to do and do it right the first time. That's how we can build trust with others. Another way might be just answering your emails in a timely fashion or your phone calls or text messages. See, you see, people are always looking for the answers to these questions, and that's going to have a lot to do with how well they work with us and within our organization. Now, the last question they have for us, do you know what you're doing? How do you demonstrate that? Well, do you get certified in the appropriate areas? Do you demonstrate that you have a working knowledge of what it is that you are asking them to do? So those are the four questions. Do you like me? Do you care about me? Can I trust you? And do you know what you are doing? we can answer those four questions, that's going to go a long ways to contributing to a solid communication between you and your peers, or them and the rest of their coworkers. Let's go on to number six. What are some barriers to clear communication in your organization? Right off the bat, number one, behavioral styles. Most of us are familiar with the DISC formula, which is D would be a dominant type person, I is an influencer, S is a steady, and a C is a compliant type person. So the key there is, do you have behavioral styles within your organizations that are compatible? Do people get along? Do they understand the other person's behavioral style? Do they work with that person to bridge the gap that might exist between the two of them? The next area to clear communication could be not really listening. So often people will attend to other things that they're doing. They'll do something called multitasking. That's not really listening. You're not giving that person your full attention. That creates problems. Another, interruptions, allowing for interruptions when you're trying to communicate with another person. That can cause miscommunication. Here's another, anger. If you're angry when you're communicating with somebody, that can definitely distort what's heard and also what's said and how it's said. How about this? Hidden agendas. When you're in a meeting with someone, if there are hidden agendas, things that people aren't revealing to you, it could definitely influence the quality of that communication process. Here's another. Cultural differences. Sometimes we don't take that into account. People have different values. Cultural differences can cause people to misinterpret the other person because they just don't understand where the person's coming from. And finally, language differences. Sometimes if a person's speaking a second language, they're not going to be able to hear everything in the same vein that you might think they're hearing it. They're not receiving it with your perception as much as their own. So obviously, there's reason for miscommunication when we have different cultures working together. The next area I'd like to address is this one. The golden rule versus the platinum rule. Now, we've all heard the golden rule, that is to do unto others the way we would want them to do unto us. Now, that's a wonderful rule, and I think it works amazingly well. However, I do believe there's an even better rule, and that's called the platinum rule when it comes to communication, and that is treat other people the way they want to be treated, or communicate with other people the way they want to be communicated, not the way we would want to be communicated to. See, people are different. They have different behavioral styles. They have different driving forces, different motivators for why they do what they do. And we can't assume that because we're motivated in a particular way or we are of a certain behavioral style, that other people are going to be the same as us. That's a mistake to make that assumption. So my point is, communicate with other people in a way that they want to be communicated to. How do you find that out? You ask them. I recommend all my clients to take a TriMetrics EQ assessment that allows them to learn how to understand other people in a number of different ways. That's something I would encourage you to look into. Let's go on. I want to touch briefly here on texting and emails. Some basic points to keep in mind. There are many, many guidelines out there, but I'm going to boil it down to the top three. When it comes to emails and texting, remember this. Whatever you put out in an email or a text, make sure that it's something you would be okay with if it appeared on the front page of the New York Times tomorrow, or appeared on a social media blast that someone put out. So what we're saying is, be very careful with what you communicate when it's in writing, when it's in an email, or when it's in a text. Be careful with that. Secondly, Some of us know this, some of us don't. But when you type something out on an email or in a text that's all caps, that is telling the person that you're shouting. It's not communicating to them that you're excited about something. It says you're shouting, and that can be misinterpreted. So I would encourage you not to use all caps unless it's appropriate. And finally, never ever text or email another person when you're angry or upset or you're stressed out, because the problem is we're probably going to regret something that we say in that communication. So in summary, don't put anything in writing that you wouldn't want to see on the front page of the New York Times. 2, don't put anything in all caps unless you mean it. And 3, never communicate on social media when you're angry, stressed out, or upset. Let's talk about listening. Here are some tips to help you be a better listener. First, judge content, not delivery. Sometimes when a person stutters or they don't communicate as effectively as we think they should, we start to judge the way they're giving us the information and not really listening for the true message. So judge content, not delivery. Second, delay evaluation. Don't jump the gun. Don't assume you know what the person is saying until they've completed their thought process and you had a chance to check back with them if that's indeed what they said. Next, listen for ideas. What is the person's trying to get across? What are the ideas that make it make sense at this point? Next, be flexible. Be willing to change your mind when talking with this person, when listening to this person. See, too often we go in there with a fixed agenda, firm on the stance that we've taken. But if we can retract from that mindset and be open to changing our mind, we'll be in a much better place. So how hard is it to really listen to another person? Well, I put together a little exercise for us. I've got a few riddles I'd like to read. I'd like you to listen hard and see if you know the answer. Number 1, is there any federal law against a man's marrying his widow's sister? I'll repeat that. Is there any federal law against a man's marrying his widow's sister? Well, here's the answer. There's no law against a man marrying his widow's sister, but it would be the neatest trick of the week to have a widow. He would have to be dead. Ah, okay. Now, listen a little bit better on the next one because it gets even more tricky. How about this? Do they have a 4th of July in England? Of course they do. They have a 5th, a 6th, a 7th, an 8th. Here's another one. How many birthdays does the average man or the average woman have? Well, the average man has one birthday. So does the average woman. All the rest are birthday anniversaries. Let's go to one more. See how well you're listening. A man builds an ordinary house with 4 sides, except that each side has a southern exposure. A bear comes to the door and rings the doorbell. What color is the bear? I'll read that again. A man builds an ordinary house with 4 sides, except that each side has a southern exposure. A bear comes to the door and rings the doorbell. What color is the bear? Ah, you guessed it, or maybe you didn't. The bear who rang the doorbell would have to be a polar bear, a white bear. Why? Because the only place you could build the house with 4 southern exposures is at the North Pole, where every direction is south. So here's my point. As I was reading those silly riddles, did you notice how you started to listen even more intently? You started to screen out any distractions and you just focused on my words. That's the kind of listening quality I want to encourage you to have with every conversation you have with your employees or with your supervisor. You see, that's when we're really getting clear on focus, and that's when we start to listen in a way that we haven't listened in the past. Here's another acronym that can remind us of some ways to be a better listener. I call it the ladder technique, L-A-D-D-E-R. Let's go to the first one, L. Look at the person who's talking to you. That's one of the best ways to really improve your listening skills. A would stand for ask questions. Don't assume you know everything. Ask questions. The first D, D is don't interrupt. Don't interrupt them. Let them get their message across. The next D, don't abruptly change topics. Make sure they've said everything they need to say before you go on to some other topic. And then E, emotions. Be aware of yours and theirs. And finally, R, respond. Respond with your body, face, and voice. Now, if we can do those things, that is, use that ladder technique, look at the other person and listen, ask questions, don't interrupt, don't abruptly change topics, emotions, be aware of yours and theirs, and respond with your body, face, and voice, we'll do a better job of listening and really communicating with that other person. All right, let's take a look at some ways to speak a little bit better, to communicate to others better. It's a formula called the three T's, and that is, first T, tell them what you're going to tell them. Second T, tell them. And the third T, tell them what you told them. Let's go back and look at those one at a time. So the first T, when you're going to explain something to someone or inform somebody of something, first, tell them what you're going to say to them. Say, here's what I'd like to present to you about that Smith project that we're working on. So get them ready to hear it. That's what we're doing there. The next T is to tell them. So simply go into the explanation or to provide the presentation and give the information to them. Finally, the last T is tell them what you told them or summarize what you've just finished saying. So again, tell them what you're going to tell them, prepare them to hear what you're going to say. The second T, tell them, give them the information, make the presentation. And the third T, tell them what you told them. That is to summarize, to allow them to really absorb the information you shared with them. Let's look at some ways you can be a better communicator in a meeting, be a better leader when you're communicating to more than a couple of people. First, have weekly meetings. I can't emphasize this enough. With the clients that I work with, how many of them learn the value of regular meetings, meaningful meetings? But do have them. You can do it in a number of ways. Daily huddles is what some of my clients do. So they meet briefly each morning, say for 15 minutes. That does a lot to get everybody on the same page and off in the same direction. Next, don't finish other people's sentences. Boy, does that frustrate some people when you finish their sentences. Maybe that's not what they wanted to say. Or maybe it'd be more important if they said it, not you. So don't finish other people's sentences. Next, stop multitasking. Stop trying to do more than one thing when you're communicating to a person. Too often I've seen it where a leader will be pecking away at his keyboard while his subordinate will be trying to communicate something to him. And that leader will say something like, go ahead, I'm listening. But they're not really giving it 100%. And that's where we start to set ourselves up for miscommunication. So stop multitasking. Turn away from that computer. Focus on that person and look right at them. Ask those questions. Really make sure you understand what that person is saying. Next, stop using the words but or however. Now, what happens when we use the word but or however in a sentence with somebody? Well, it pretty much negates anything that was said before that. For instance, yeah, Joe, you did a really good job in this last project, but, here comes what I did wrong. Or, you really did a tremendous job on that last project. However, here it comes again, right? Here comes the hammer. A better way to add something to that statement would be, Joe, you did a really great job on that last project. And here are some of the other things we need to consider when we proceed with the next project. So you see what you did is you took that conversation and gave the information you needed to give to that person, that feedback, but you did it in a positive way, in a way that allowed that person to remain open to hearing what you had to say. So to repeat what I just said here, stop using the word but or however. Substitute the word and. You'll get much better results with those conversations. Finally, when two people in business always agree, one of them isn't necessary. Remember that that's an old saying, but it makes so much sense. So when you communicate with other people, don't expect to agree with everyone all the time. Don't expect for them to agree with you all the time. Realize that if they're doing their job properly, they're going to have a different perspective on what they're doing from yours. That's important. Don't discourage that. So the key there is to disagree, but do so in an agreeable manner. So remember, when two people in business always agree, one of them isn't necessary. You do not want yes people in your organization. You want people that are going to challenge what's being said, but back it up with evidence. Then we can have an intelligent conversation and really help each other solve the challenges that we're facing in that organization. A couple more things to remember. When it comes to communicating and being a leader demonstrates empathy and compassion. So recognize one of your main responsibilities is to communicate in a way that demonstrates that you really care about other people. And that's going to do so much more to open up communication within your organization. And finally, be approachable. Be real. You don't want to be the kind of leader that no one wants to communicate with because they're afraid of you. So be approachable, be real, admit your mistakes when you make them, and do so promptly. As a result, you'll be setting an example for the rest of your team, and you will become a better company because of it. So in summary, crystal clear communication is no accident. It takes a commitment. It takes an effort. It takes a persistence. However, when you do this, I guarantee you, you will get the kind of results you want, and you will have the company you desire. Thank you.
As always, we welcome your feedback on each month's presentation. Please feel free to give us a call at 877-202-8891. The vision of Grandy & Associates is quite simple. We teach companies how to run profitable businesses. For more information on how we do that, check out our website at www.grandyassociates.com or give us a call at 1-877-202-8891. Profit University Audio Series is produced and distributed by Grandy & Associates. If we can be of service to you, give us a call on our toll-free line at 1-877-202-8891. Until next month, remember, invest your time and invest your money in those things that will reproduce.